Or are we building on the sand? Let us pray. Our dear and our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for everything You have done for us. And we ask, as I bring this lesson, that You'll be with me and that we will understand whether we're building on the rock or whether we're building in the wrong way. And we ask that You'd go with us and guide us, for we pray this in Christ's dear name. Amen. There are all kinds of disasters. There are tornadoes and earthquakes, mudslides, fires, and other destructive things. And when these things happen, we wonder how they impact our lives. They impact the lives of many of the people. We have had some disasters here. We had one up north of here, unexpected, and all of a sudden, they had a mudslide that almost wiped out a town, but it wiped out a lot of people and a lot of homes. What was the impact? And how did it affect them? In 1 Corinthians, or no, and Jesus makes a parable between the storms and the buildings at the end of his sermon in Matthew, the 7th chapter, verses 24 through 27. And he asks the question, where have you built your house? Have you built it on the rock, which he is? Or have you built it on the ever-drifting sands? And that is the question we have to ask ourselves. How have I built my house? Or how am I building my house? Is my house on Christ? With God? Or is it on the ever-drifting sands that will cause it to fall? As he sought to encourage people to act upon his sayings. He was encouraging people. He encouraged them. He had just done the Sermon on the Mount. And he was trying. And now he was asking him and encouraging him, build your house. On the rock. But don't build it on the sand. He was encouraging him to build them the right way. Contrasting the difference between those who were doers and those who were not just listeners. Those that was doing what he had taught and those who were not doing what he had taught. But he was trying to encourage him, do what I've taught you. For if you don't, the disaster is going to be great. The house represents our lives. My question to you and to me and all of us is, how are we living our lives? Are we living our lives in the way that God would have us to do? Christ would have us to do? Or are we living our lives as the devil would have us to live? That's where you're building your house on the sand. Each of us are building a life. It is on the rock of ages. And that's the question. Is it on the act on the rock of ages? The translation of Hebrews, everlasting is strength, everlasting rock. Isaiah 26 and 4. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal. That's who the eternal rock is. That's His word, His message. Someone you can depend on. He created us. And He's the rock that we should be depending on. A life that will eventually face the vicissitudes of life. Our lives are going to face a lot of problems. And they're going to face a lot of good times. But how strong are they when we hit the bad times? Are they on the rock or are they on the sand? And that's our choice. However we want to live our lives. But God gives us a choice. We can either do it His way, or we can ignore Him and do it the wrong way. A life will respond to many ups and downs that come our way. We have a lot of ups, and then we have a lot of downs. I know. I've been through a few of them. We've all been through a few of them. Well, all of a sudden, we just feel great. And all of a sudden, down. And we don't know why sometimes. But that's life. In 1 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4, all the same spiritual food, they all drank from the same spiritual rock, and that rock was Christ. We sing a song, Rock of Ages. And I'll be using the songbook a little bit tonight, because I want to read from some of these songs. I want you to think about what we're saying. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Are we hiding ourselves in the rock of ages? Christ is the rock. Christ has done for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. He is the rock of ages, and He's the one that we need to hold to, or we're going to fall. We are building life on a foundation. When I ask you, what kind of a foundation are you building your house on? The foundation of God's Word, or a foundation of so what, whatever, doesn't matter? Or are we holding to the foundation that Christ has given us, that God has given us? And that's the question to you, that's the question to me, that's the question to all of us. What kind of a foundation are we building on? Hebrews the third chapter in verses 3 and 4. For Jesus is considered worthy of more glory than Moses, just as a builder has more honor than the house. How every house is built by someone, but the one who builds is everything is God. Notice about who builds the house and how it's built. It says, for Jesus is considered worthy of more glory. We're using Jesus for a foundation. We'll get more about Jesus in a minute. Now every house is built by someone, but the one who builds everything is God. God has built everything. God has given us the way to be that we need to be. He's laid the foundation. He's the one that created this world and everything in it. And if we get down to it, we owe everything to God. The foundation is ever-teaching doctrine, a philosophy to which we ascribe. In Psalms 31, in the first five verses, Lord, I seek refuge in you. Let me never be disgraced. Save me by your righteousness. Listen closely to me. Rescue me quickly. Be a rock of refuge for me, a mountain, a fortress to save me. For are my rocks and my fortress. You lead and guide me because of your name. You will free me from the net that is secretly set for me. For you are my refuge. Into your hands I entrust my spirit. You redeem me, Lord, God of truth. We need to set God as our refuge, for he is the one that will save us. No one else is going to. He's our fortress. He's our rock. He's our everything. And I'm afraid that a lot of times we do not even think of God sometimes when we're in trouble. In song number 400, okay, the Lord our rock. O rock, 'tis cliff and strong, such defense from dark grains and tempest and threats and dents. In the rock we are safe. We will suffer no fear, but in peace and changeless we rest sweetly here. O rock, safely shield from the foes that surround. Through the perils are many, and the tempters abound. In the rock, all secure from all harm, we abide, since his shields us and keeps us. No ill can be tied. Oh, the rock, blessed rock, what a claim, blessed retreat. We will rest in the shade, all secured from the heat. In the rock, we are contented. We're happy and free. Sinner, flee for thy life. Oh, to this refuge flee. And as it goes on in the chorus, for the Lord is our rock and is mighty. He's a rock and he's mighty and strong. And in him we are safe. He's our help and our song. In the rock we will rest till the storms all are past. He will guide through the gloom. He will guide through the gloom till the lights dawn, at last dawns, at last. He's our refuge. He's the mighty rock. He's the fortress. We don't have anybody else that you can say that about. But yet we sang this, the Lord our rock. Do we understand this? You know, as I looked over some of these songs, I had a whole string about like that I could have used. And I looked at the words, and I thought about them. And then they had scriptures up here on some of these songs, and that's some of the scriptures I'm using. And I read them. And then you looked at the song. The Bible. We're singing the songs almost like what the verses say. But yet, are we living them? It may be philosophy or doctrine adopted from others or developed ourselves. Paul tells us who the real foundation is. In 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verses 10 and 11, by the grace of God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Paul tells us, I've laid the foundation the way I'm supposed to. But others are trying to build on it in ways that they shouldn't be. But he says, you can't build on any other foundation than the one that's already laid, and that is Jesus Christ. He is the only one that we can build our foundation, build our lives on. We have no choice. If we want to serve Christ and God, we have to build it the way they've said to build a foundation, to live our lives the way it says. Elsewhere also, the apostles and the prophets are described as a foundation in Ephesians. The second chapter, verses 20 through 21. But as I was looking through this, I went up a little bit. start with verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. So then are no longer foreigners or strangers, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. The whole building is being fitted together in him and is growing into the holy sanctuary in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for God's dwelling in the Spirit. Notice he says on the apostles and the prophets, what did they get? They got their instructions from above. This is the foundation they've taught. But others are building on them. And notice it says Christ is the cornerstone. When you lay the foundation, that back in those days, in the old days, in the Old Testament, they had one stone that was in the corner. And they laid that foundation. But also they had a stone at the, went together at the edge of two walls. And it usually had the name of the king on that cornerstone of who authorized that building. Who authorized our building? Who authorized how we are to build our? Christ. And he's the chief cornerstone. There is no other cornerstone. There's no other foundation but what Christ has laid. These storms are things that threaten our well-being. How we respond to tragedies will reveal the quality of our building. Will we emotionally be devastated? Or will we be able to stand strong, willing to continue without despair? You know, you can tell the builder when he's built a house, when the storms come, did that builder do a shabby job and the house falls down, or a wall falls down, or the roof comes off? Or did he do a good job? The house stands, the roof stays, and you don't have no problem. We have a choice. We can either hold to Christ and God, and we can go some other way. But it's our choice. We have to build on Christ. And you might say that we don't always do what we should do. We can find our weak moments, and but then do we turn back and try to build our lives the way we know God wants us to? Christ wants us to? It also involves the fugitive storms, such as illnesses, loss of loved ones financially, setbacks. We all have this, but how does our lives stand? Which may take away the health of a family or their possessions. How do we hold? Again, how do we respond in such tragedies? Will reveal the quality of our buildings. Will we be emotionally devastated? Or will we be able to stand strong, willing to continue? Continue on. In Psalm 62, 6 and 7, He alone is my rock, my salvation, my stronghold, and my honor, and depend on God. He is my mighty rock. 285. Oh, sometimes the shadows are deep, and rough seems the path to the gold, and sorrow, unrest, tempest of the soul. And I'm going to read the whole thing. But verse 3, O near to the rock, let me keep, O blessings, O sorrows prevail, or climb the mountains way steep, or walk the shadowy vale. O then to the rock, let me fly, to the rock that is higher than I. O then to the rock, let me fly, to the rock that is higher than I. When we get in trouble, we have these bad moments, do we finally turn to that rock, back to the rock where we should be, to help us get back on the right track? That's the question. Does your life turn back where it should turn back to that rock that is higher than I? We know who that is, Christ and God. That is who we have to turn back to, no one else. There's a final storm of life, that is death, which is the final judgment. Are we going to be ready for that? Are we going to have somebody there with us when we stand before God? Which will be the truest test of our building character? 2 Corinthians 5, 10 through 11. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may be repaid for what he has done in the body, whether good or bad, knowing that the fear of the Lord we persuade people. We are completely open to God, and I hope we are completely open to our conscience as well. We're completely open to God. God knows everything. The Lord will describe what kind of a building or what kind of a servant we've been. When we stand in that judgment seat, we're going to hear one or two words. Well done, good and faithful servant, Matthew 25, 21. Or are we going to hear, you wicked and lazy servant, depart from me, Matthew 25, verse 26. Which one of these two are we going to hear? And we're going to make the choice on how we build our lives, how we build the foundation, how we do as we should do. Did we do what we were supposed to do, or did we just go our own happy way? That's the choice. Obeying Jesus is the key to withstand the storms. Christ is the key, only Him. Being a hearer only is not sufficient. Such is the foolish building on a shaky foundation. What will not stand the test of the storm? As we had in our reading, are we building on the rock that will stand the storm? Or are we building on the sand and it won't stand the time? As James was one who only deceived, he says, we're only deceiving ourselves. In James 1, 22 and 24, but he is the doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man looking at his own face in the mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and right away forgets what kind of man he is. James tells us, you look in a mirror. What kind of man are you? Are you doing right or are you doing wrong? But he says, as you leave that mirror, you forget what kind of a man you are. What was your choice? What way were you going? But as you leave that mirror and you look in it, you walk away and you forget what kind of a man you were. Like the unscrupulous contractor, the storm revealed the true quality of one's character. What's your character? Are you like the bad contractor? Or are you like the good contractor that did it right? It's your choice. You build your house. You build your life. We all are doing that. We are changing. We must do what Jesus says. Those that do not do what Jesus said will be those which stand the storm. Verses 24 and 25, because the life, the house, are built upon the rock, a solid foundation. Psalm 298. There stands a rock. Stands a rock on the shores of time that rears to heaven, its head sublime. That rock is cleft, and they who blessed who find within this cleft a rest. And I'm not going to read the other two, but I'm going to read the chorus. Some build their hopes on the ever-drifting sand, some on their fame, or their treasures, or their land. Mine's on the rock that forever shall stand, Jesus, the rock of ages. In this song we're singing, where do some build their houses? On the sand. Where should we be building? As it says, mine's on the rock, Jesus Christ, the rock of ages, a rock of all time. Your choice, or do you want to build it? As James went on to write, the doer is blessed in what he does, James 1 and 25. In conclusion, let's look at some things. Yes, this is a life that can truly withstand the storm. Where is it literal or figurative storm of everyday life? Whether things happen or whatever happens in everyday life. If we've built on our right foundation and with the right ones, they withstand the storm. What kind of a foundation are you building? You're building your house and your life on. That's the question to me. That's the question to you. What kind of a foundation are you building? You're building your house and your life on. Heed what Jesus is saying, and your life will be solid. We heed what Jesus says and what God wants us to do, it's solid. But if we don't, if we are listeners only, and your life will be shaky as the sand, and the storms will come, and your life will not hold up like God wants it to, if we're building on the sands. Just as Jesus is a solid foundation of the church, 1 Corinthians 3 and 11, so let him be the rock and solid foundation of your life. Psalms 18:2, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my mountain. When I seek refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Is he your fortress? Is he your rock? Is he your foundation? That's the question for you. That's the question for me. One final scripture, and then one final, and the lesson is yours. In Psalms, the 19th chapter, verse 14. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The psalmist says, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable to you. The Lord's my rock and my redeemer. Psalm 7:14, the Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock. Let the God of our salvation be exalted. Are we exalting our lives in the way God would have us to? Are we building our lives on a rock, on the foundation of God's Word? I have to ask myself that, myself. And you need to ask yourself that too. How are we building our house? How are we building our lives? The choice is yours. You have